Hey, thank you, Pastor. We are excited to be here this evening with you and to minister to you all tonight. As you said, we are doing a drama presentation about the life of King Solomon. And the play that you'll see is about a young man with Solomon who is very talented, and he is also somewhat naive, who comes to know the great King Solomon. And in his attempt to be successful, he wants to be successful and learn the wise sayings from Solomon. He doesn't exactly know what that looks like exactly, and he doesn't realize that he still has a lot to learn about being successful. And even though we don't have any replicas of Solomon's temple or his palace behind us, we hope that you will envision with us in your minds as we go back in time to the city of Jerusalem some 3,000 years ago. We are going to introduce ourselves, and we are from Bob Jones University, and we have a table in the back as well. And we told the teens earlier that to look at that. If any of you guys want to look at any of that information, we'll be in the back there to answer any questions that you have. So feel free to come by, ask any questions about the university. We'd love to just talk with you in general and get to know you a little bit. So that's going to be there for you. So we'll introduce ourselves at this time, and then I'll come and say a couple more things after that. My name is Marcus Baggett. I just graduated from Bob Jones last year with a degree in sports management, and I'm from Greenville, South Carolina.
Hello, my name is Mark Haxton, and I just recently graduated from Bob Jones with a communication major and a minor in political science, and tonight I will be playing the part of Benjamin. He's the ambitious young man that gets to write down all the wise words of King Solomon.
And my name is Wilbur Mock, and I just graduated with a theater arts major and a Spanish minor, and tonight I'll be playing the role of King Solomon. Now, this is King Solomon towards the ending of his life, after he's made all of his mistakes and errors. And he's looking back over his life and over the kingdom of Israel, and in spite of all the wisdom and wealth that he sees, he senses the seeds of destruction that might lead to a future that he didn't quite intend for Israel. I'll also briefly switch roles to portray another scribe character along with Benjamin.
So as you watch our play, we hope that you will see and hear some wonderful examples of God's wisdom. And in particular, a couple things that we hope that you will see through the play is how we as Christians need to be surrounding ourselves with good godly wisdom from godly people who know God's word. And you'll see that a lot of the phrases and sayings from King Solomon come from the book of Ecclesiastes, again later in his life, and he's sharing a lot of that wisdom to the young scribe. So we hope you will recognize that and see that and see the importance of that. And then through that, how important it is as Christians that we share that wisdom, share the scriptures that we gain from God's word, from people around us, to the next generations to follow after us. And again, you'll see that in the play from the older Solomon to the younger scribe. So we hope that that will convey to you. And there's some other truths in there that we hope that you will see. But those in particular, how we need to be surrounding ourselves with God's word and then taking that truth that we learn from his word and sharing that to the next generations that will follow after us. We now present to you Solomon, son of David.
Paper, pen, more paper. Is this enough? This doesn't look like enough. What was I supposed to say to him? How do I bow? Yes, I do. Benjamin, son of Abijah. And he will tell me what to write down, and if I do a good job, I can come back. It'll be simple, easy. This is going to be terrible. What I need is a bit of luck. Moloch, give me good luck and good favor with the king.
Consider what God has done and what he will do. He will uncover every hidden thing, good or evil. A wise man gives reverence to such a God. Am I then wise? Come, let us bow down. Let us bow down. Let us bow down in worship. Come, let us bow down before the Lord our God Most High. My father wrote that song. I always imagined he wrote it on a hillside much like this one, sitting up high where he could see the sheep ranging into the valley below. Although I never asked him, I often wished I had.
My mother used to sing that song to us children.
Did she often sing to you?
Yes, sir. Sire, I often find myself singing her songs.
And you obey them? The songs, do you bow and worship before the Lord? Or are they just words?
I suppose both.
Honesty. And we have only just met. You haven't even bowed to the king in Jerusalem.
I'm sorry.
Yet.
Please forgive me, sir. Sorry, I didn't know what to do out here. Please forgive me.
And your father calls you?
Benjamin, son of Abzan.
His right hand. And he sent you to the king. A great sacrifice, I'm sure.
He wants me to be a great scribe. Oh. I am already well learned in the ancient scrolls, and I can recite the generations of our father Abraham by heart.
Do you see that falcon? Do you understand why he circles like that, calling as he goes?
I have never observed him to know, sire.
Truly? You've never wondered how he can rise without beating his wings? We must work on developing your curiosity along with your scribing. The wind is constantly blowing, even far above us. First from the south, and then it turns to the north, and is constantly returning back to where it began. Where the cool breezes meet the warm winds, they create an updraft, which picks up the wings of the falcon so he can circle higher and higher. All without exerting even a tenth of the energy he would need were he to mount the skies under his own power. Tell me, how long have the falcons been riding on the winds?
Since God made them?
The falcons have not just begun to learn how to soar. The winds have not recently begun to cycle continuously over the earth. And no man's ambition is new. Someone has written it, thought it, done it already, long before you and I were born. And all we can do is just join the stream of thoughts and ideas blowing south, and then turn back north again. And when we are gone and forgotten, another will come and think that he is the first to travel that way. And then another.
But you are the wisest man that ever lived. We all know the story of how God gave wisdom to you since we were small. It is one of the first stories young Israelites learn about their good king. It was promised you to have wisdom that no one else would ever have as long as the earth remained.
Wisdom is only as necessary as there are problems to be solved. It falls to the king to solve many problems. Of course, I should need wisdom in abundance, or else I should only cause disaster. But why can it not also mean that every child who hears the story cannot also have great wisdom? Do you, as a great scribe someday, want to have many students under you?
Of course I would like
Good.
To have students.
Then let us begin. I presume you have paper in that bag.
Of course.
Then write. The words of the preacher, son of David, king in Jerusalem. Vanity of vanities, saith the preacher. Vanity of vanities, all is vanity. What profit hath a man of all his labor which he taketh under the sun? One generation passeth away, and another generation cometh. Yet the earth abideth forever. The sun also ariseth, and the sun goeth down, and hasteth to the place where he arose. All of the rivers flow into the sea, yet the sea is not full. Unto the place from whence the rivers come, thither they return again. The eye is not satisfied with seeing, nor the ear filled with hearing. There is no remembrance of former things. Neither shall there be any remembrance of things that are to come with those that shall come
after. Sire.
Did they teach you to interrupt in the synagogue?
My apologies.
Well, go on. Ask your question.
If we are going to be forgotten, and all we know, forgotten along with us, why am I writing this down?
He is our God, He is our God. Worship the Lord, our God most high.
Hey, how did it go?
Well,
what was he like? King Solomon. Where did you meet him? In the courtroom? In the gardens? Is it true? Do his servants dress in all gold?
He was not what I expected.
There he is, back from his scribal debut in the palace. Now let's see here. No marks of death, so it couldn't have gone that badly.
Lucky dog. Out of all of us, the scrawny little small towner gets to write down everything the king says. In person. You're going to share some of your new wisdom with your friends, right?
The servant sent me to the hillside when I arrived. Said he was out there. They just pointed vaguely towards the hill and told me to start walking. So, I started walking. I found a chair and out to pavilion finally. There was no one else around. No attendants. I mean, I suppose they must have been close by. And there he was, sitting on the grass, singing.
And you wrote it down? The song?
It is already written. A song of King David.
Well, then what?
He talked about birds and wind and rain. So I wrote it down and came back.
That's it?
Yes.
That seems rather...
Ordinary. Yes, I know. Although I don't actually think it was.
Right. Well, fascinating. Say, who's up for a walk around the city before things close up for the night? Maybe some good company, good food. Benjamin, are you coming?
Maybe later. Going to do some reading, I think.
Our great king himself said that much study is a weariness to the flesh.
What he meant and what he said, could they be two different things?
All right, whatever. You read. We'll see you later.
Just out of curiosity, what are you reading? I mean, he didn't give you homework, did he?
No, I just thought I'd brush up on some wind currents and maybe rivers.
And birds, I'll bet.
No, I expect wind currents should impress the old man.
Right, well, see you around, Benjamin.
Moloch, give me wisdom as I read.
I beg an audience, my lord.
Jared, enter and speak, friend.
I wanted to know, did the new young scribe meet with satisfaction? He is, after all, one of our brightest young men.
Is he? He seemed an uncommonly ordinary young man. No discernible observational skills, very little sense of decorum, and no courtroom etiquette. Did he not receive courtroom orientation?
He did, my lord. What indiscretion.
He failed to bow upon entering the royal presence, failed to announce himself, and interrupted me while I was dictating.
My lord, I am aghast. He will be immediately rebuked and removed from the house of scribes.
No. No need, Jared. I think those are exactly the reasons why I like him. We'll keep him on for now. Although you can tell me what he is doing with his time since his first scribal encounter with the king.
Well, the overseer of the House of Scribes tells me that he has loaned the young man several charts of the rivers and bodies of water in Israel.
Ah, I see.
Benjamin, son of Abaddon, as requested, my lord.
Have you seen this throne room yet, young Benjamin?
No, I haven't.
And what do you think of it?
It is awe-inspiring.
It took 7 years to build the temple to the Most High God, the temple that my father David had hoped of building, but bequeathed to me instead. It took me 13 years to build this palace. It is built from the pillars up of treasures from all over the known world.
Those lions on either side of the throne and coming down the stairs? They're so lifelike. I saw a wild lion once, and these are just like it. The way their eyes seem to glitter and follow me.
The symbol of Judah, of Jerusalem, and of my father, King David.
I never knew there was this much gold in the whole world. And this is just the throne room.
This is the gift of God. All of this. The prosperity of the kingdom of Israel comes from the goodness and promise of God.
It's remarkable. Surely there is no kingdom in all the world that has anything like it.
There isn't. The world has never seen anything like it before, now, nor will it after. Every day, kings and princes and merchants flood this beautiful city and this glittering hall. They bring gifts, but they expect gifts in return. Answers to impossible questions and political riddles. Tell me, young scribe, why is it that wealthy people have so many friends, yet poor people are friendless?
Because people expect to get something from the wealthy and expect to have to give something to those who are poor.
Wealth brings out the worst in us. How is it still one of God's good gifts? When I prayed and asked God for wisdom, He gave me all of this in abundance to His divine insight. How is it good?
It can be used to glorify His temple, to show the world how great He is. We sacrifice our best regularly to atone for our guilt.
Yet, our first king Saul kept the spoils of war to be sacrificed in thanksgiving to God, and he lost the kingdom for it.
The prophet Samuel told King Saul that obedience glorifies God more than mere sacrifice. So, using our blessings without first our obedience
brings the curse of God. Obedience is the greatest sacrifice we can give. You are very young, son of Abaddon. You will likely see your king on the throne, should Jehovah will it, for many more years. But my son, Prince Rehoboam, will not reign in peace over the whole of Israel as we know it.
Will not, my lord. How can
have
you know that?
Have you read the dedication to the temple?
I have, sire.
There was I, king in Jerusalem, standing before the glorious new temple that my father David had dreamed of, and knowing, and all Israel with me, that both I and the temple were there because my father obeyed Jehovah and served him with all his heart. I said as much, and then before the whole assembly, I prayed that God would continue that promise to me, that there would never lack for a son of David on the throne. I prayed for the sake of the people, that even when we sinned, God would have mercy on us and heal this land and the people he loves. For 2 weeks we rejoiced together. It was an enormous assembly. The scribes have written of the nations that were represented there, of Egypt and Ethiopia and surrounding kingdoms. Perhaps there's not been such a diverse gathering of people, all intent on the worship of Jehovah since time began. And perhaps there will not be another until the kingdom of heaven. Thousands of eyes saw the glory of our God that day, and thousands of hearts heard the prayer of his humble servant. But only one heard Jehovah's answer. Take out your pen and paper, son of Abaddon. For when the feasts were completed that day, the holy God of heaven appeared to me a second time. If thou wilt walk as thy father David walked, in integrity of heart and in uprightness, and wilt do according to all that I have commanded thee, and wilt keep my statutes and my judgments which I have set before thee, then will I establish the throne of thy kingdom forever. But if ye shall at all turn from following me, ye or your children, and will not keep my statutes and my judgments which I have set before thee, but go and serve other gods and worship them, then will I cut off Israel from the land which I have given them, and this house which I have hallowed for my name,
the temple,
is only as beautiful as the obedience of those who claim to worship within it. And, oh, Jehovah, my God, I failed to obey. Look out this window. Even tonight, you can see the sacrifices burning for Chemosh and for Molech on the hill in front of Jerusalem. Even tonight, there are sacrifices being made to other gods with my consent. But know this, the God of David's house always keeps his promises. And I have failed to keep mine. In spite of all the blessings that you see before you, you will know that your king forgot the Lord his God when the kingdom breaks into pieces and falls into war. And you will have to write this story.
My lords, may it never be.
Had I not built a shrine to every lesser god, an altar to every vanity of man, no son of Israel would beg favors from an enemy of Jehovah.
My lord, this is merely a trinket. If you wish, I will certainly
That's
get rid of it.
That's all well and good. But if you do not get rid of it first in your heart, then you may just as soon be asking your pen and paper for good favor, reliant as you are on them for words. If you do not have Jehovah first in your heart, soul, and mind, then you will simply replace this one with something else. Now I am your king. I can demand anything of you and expect to receive it. But this I will not ask. I can only implore you to learn. If you are going to be a great scribe someday, you'll have to write both the good and the evil. Record the righteous with the unrighteous and learn from my failures. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of great wisdom. Be wiser than I, young scribe.
My lord, I beg your pardon for saying so, but is it safe for us to be out here unattended?
You are with me.
But I am not a guard. I cannot protect you.
We have been promised the peace of God in this land. There is nothing to fear.
You'll be mobbed when someone recognizes who you are.
You are too confident in the average person's eyes. I do not look like the glorious King Solomon today. So that is not what they see. They see a potential customer. Nothing more. Now come, stand with me here on this step. And tell me, what do you see?
People. Everywhere. They are pressed so tightly together in the streets, it looks as though no one can move.
Yet the crowd is constantly flowing through the crowded streets, under the archways, animals, people, all moving and purposeful. Now, give me your hand and tell me, what do you feel?
Your heartbeat?
Rhythmic, consistent, and vital. Now, feel here on my wrist. What do you feel?
The same, your heartbeat.
Yet my heart is not in my wrist. Were I to cut off my arm, I would still live. My heart, how safely here in the center of my body, is the important thing. If it is not kept safe, then my whole body fails. Just like this city. Were the enemy to flood the streets, the people cannot go about their business in safety.
So, am I to understand that your heart is like the city, or...
Just as a safe city means healthy trade, and a healthy heart means a healthy body, so a righteous life means a healthy soul.
Even in this time of peace, there's a guard at the palace door and at the city gate.
Exactly. You can see their banners from here. Only a great fool would challenge them, battle ready as they are. But those guards, they recognized me. And they recognized you. They do their job well. They readily let us pass without a murmur. But what if I were to replace them with men who are not trained, or ready, or even dead?
They would be useless, of course.
Of course. Why then are the guards to our hearts, our precious inner souls guarded thus? The fool looks at anything he pleases, hears anything he wishes, and walks wherever he chooses. He's assigned no guards to stop him, and why should he keep himself from pleasure? He doesn't know he is poisoning his soul until it is too late and much damage has been done.
Jehovah made a miraculous creation in our bodies, but can we ever understand our own soul?
We are wonderfully created in body, but by our own choice our hearts deceive us. Look at these people, Benjamin. They're all members of the great city, the city of God, where of all cities people should dwell in harmony and unity. They should care for one another in love. But even here, something creeps in. There in the brown. I've watched him often.
Did he just... He stole from that elderly woman and she didn't even notice. Oh, that was quick. The guards must have seen him.
They are very astute and alert. Are yours...
Are my pardon, my lord?
Are the guards to your heart as alert as my city guards? What have you done to guard your eyes, your ears, where you choose to go?
I suppose I am choosy about my companions.
Do they honor the ancient words of Jehovah, or do they see them merely as textbooks and old literature?
Even among the scribes, it is easy to just see words and not the God of heaven.
Do you admire the God of heaven so deeply that your eyes cannot admire what they shouldn't?
Suppose I rely on the prayers of my mother and father.
Your heart is not yet Jehovah's, is it? You still rely on other things than him. I prayed and asked God for wisdom once. I should have prayed for it every day. Consider it. And when you write down what we have seen today, read it to your young fellow scribes. Will you do that?
I will, my lord.
Good.
Truly the light is sweet, and it is a wondrous thing for the eyes to behold the sun, but for both light and dark, God will judge. He will judge all.
And that is where we left off last time?
Yes, my lord.
Good, good. All our goodness. It's much like those peacocks I keep, isn't it? Look at them. Remarkably beautiful, aren't they? Creator God made a beautiful bird. And they seem to know that they are beautiful. In an effort to cast aspersion on a creature other than themselves, men call this beautiful bird vain, when it is only doing what its creator has taught it to do. It is men who are vain. But even in all this beauty, there is a little darkness in this most lovely of birds. Listen.
I have heard it many times before. Ruckus, to say the least. You'd expect a bird like that to sound different. Something in keeping with its plumage.
So it is, I suspect, every time we show the darkness of our sins. You are very young, son of Abaddon. Right now, in these days, is the time to steep yourself in the ways of Jehovah, God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. And when the light begins to dim and your days begin to fade, his light will only become the brighter. Right now, the stars of your life can only get brighter. The clouds rarely block out the light, and you can't imagine the rain without the sun coming out in the end. But one day, oh, it seems impossible now. The keepers of your house will begin to tremble. The strong men bow down under the weight of life. Your grinders cease because there are so few of them. Your windows will be darkened, letting in no light, and no music will be heard in your house. Everything shall grow fearful to you, unless you have taught yourself to trust in God when your house was in order. And then no fear can alarm you. No darkness or silence will cause you dread. Do you understand? Do you understand?
My lord.
The question was for you, Benjamin, not just for your pen and paper.
Ah. Well, let me see. The keepers and strong men are man's arms and legs. Those, of course, become weaker with age. Food will become less pleasant to him as he loses teeth and isn't able to eat. And that's in reference to the grinders. The windows. I would interpret the windows to be the eyes and the no music to be hearing.
Men grow old. The young cannot comprehend it easily. Do you understand why I say it?
Is it the fear?
Even in times of peace, an old man can become fearful. It is perhaps something that the old can relearn from the young. What it is to boldly trust and not be afraid.
The young learn wisdom from those older.
One so full of fears of the next step and of the steps of those who come after him. And the other so full of fears of all the years of life he is expected to live.
And the solution to the chapter, my lord.
How did it begin?
Remember.
Yes, remember. Do not in any wise forget your Creator. Never let him be so little as words on paper. Will you remember?
Me? I will, my
lord. In all your years of study, what do the scribes who come before you say about my father, King David?
He was a man who loved the Lord with all his heart, soul, and mind.
If you have one goal, it is to love God like that. It isn't the gold lions and peacocks and court manners that you need. It's him. I must go rest now.
I am ready, my lord.
I could have asked you to stop carrying that thing around, you know. That bit of wood you rely on for good fortune.
Shall I remove it?
But if I had, you would have only replaced it with some other little god to carry in your pocket.
My lord, I didn't mean
have
to offend.
Have you read so little of what you have written? Or is that piece of wood truly your choice?
My lord, it is only a trinket of goodwill, a token. It is not a god.
You don't ask it for things?
I suppose I have in the past.
And yet here it is with us today, where we have heard and sung songs of praise to the God of our fathers. It can't hear them, you know. It can't see you, and yet...
Will there be anything to write, my lord?
I think not.
Because the preacher was wise, he still taught the people knowledge. Yea, he gave good heed, and sought out, and set in order many proverbs. The preacher sought to find out acceptable words. That which was written was upright, even words of truth. And by these, my son, be admonished. Of making many books there is no end. Of much study is a weariness of the flesh. Let us hear the whole conclusion of this matter. Fear God, and keep his commandments, for this is the whole duty of man. The whole duty of man. No matter who is king, King Rehoboam is already crowned. And in his first days as king, he has proven himself to be as foolish as his father was wise. Already, there are rumblings of war. Jeroboam is gathering an army against the house of David. Has it ever occurred to you to disobey and walk instead of fly? You know your duty, and you do it. Fear God and keep his commandments. Even kings cannot do it. Maybe especially kings cannot do it. O Lord, God of Solomon, King of Jerusalem, I need your wisdom as I write these words for myself and for all of those who come after me. He is my God, he is my God. Worship the Lord our God most high.
The Bible says in James chapter 1, if any of you lack wisdom, let him ask of God that giveth to all men liberally, and upbraideth not, and it shall be given him. We all know the stories that are told about King Solomon, and how that he asked God, when he could have asked for anything, he asked God for wisdom, and to please the Lord that he asked for wisdom. But did you pick up the one line in their presentation that King Solomon said? I prayed for wisdom once, but I should have prayed for wisdom every day. I wonder how many of us would echo that. And the God of all wisdom is still there waiting. And waiting to give us the gift of his perspective, his guidance. And that's found in his wisdom. And he has put into our hands, in the work of the scribes, the scriptures that God passed down to us. I think many times we live very poorly when God intended us to live very richly. Whether you're a teenager, whether you're in elementary school, or whether you're a retiree, it doesn't matter what station you are in life. God wants to bless you, he wants to use you, and he wants you to be able to glorify him. Otherwise, we're just surviving and we're not living. And I think that's what King Solomon was trying to get across. King Solomon chased so many wonderful things that Americans today are chasing. And we're catching them like soap bubbles. And we catch them and they evaporate in our hand and they don't bring us the satisfaction nor the fulfillment. And that's why he said it's vanity. I'm going to ask us to bow our heads and close our eyes. Turn your heart and your attention to the Lord tonight. You saw two or three men trying to bring us back a few thousand years to a man who really did live. And yet you can turn on the news today and you can find some people like that who are living today that seem to have everything that life can offer, and they take their life. Why? Because there's no peace, there's no joy, fulfillment. Why don't you do like the scribe did? Why don't you, in the stillness of your heart right now, bow the knee? Why don't you submit your will and say, Lord, I'm not relying upon my eyes. I'm not relying upon my mind. I'm not relying on my experience. But I want to rely upon you. You help me to be a godly teenager. You help me to be a godly example in my school. You help me be a godly mother, godly father, a grandparent with influence. Why not pray something like that right now? Would you? Just whisper to God. Help me to make an impact. Fill me with your love and give me your wisdom. He did it for Solomon. And then he took the wheel of his vehicle of his life back in his own hands. He took it away from God and he wasted his life. Learn from that example. Scoot over and let God be the driver. Heavenly Father, I ask you now that you would move through the example of your word. Lord, as Solomon was reported to have said, don't just write the things that are good, but write the things that are bad. And Lord, I thank you that you are honest in your precious word. And Lord, I pray that we would be honest as well. Lord, fill me with your wisdom. Every day anew and afresh, may I bow before your feet and thank you for life and thank you for time and thank you for health, and help me, Lord, to serve you that day. Lord, I pray that there will be teenagers that will make a difference in the lives of friends. They might not have a God around their neck on a chain, but they're chasing gods that they think will make them happy. Lord Jesus, I pray for parents that you would definitely grant our parents wisdom. Lord, give us that direct guidance, I pray. We have no practice round at raising children. And Lord, I pray for grandparents. I ask you, God, that you would direct and guide and help us to be able to use your experience that you've brought us through. Some that we've done like Solomon and we failed, and help us to submit that as a warning to those generations that might follow. Lord Jesus, may tonight be a real impact and something that we will not forget. May we soar like that falcon. We heard chirping throughout the presentation. Lord, help us to soar higher and higher. I pray in Jesus' precious name. We'll close in just a moment. Would you stand to your feet with your heads bowed and your eyes closed? Just before I close in prayer, I wonder who would say, Brother Mark, when you asked us to pray and you asked us to present ourselves before the Lord, to surrender, submit, and to ask him for wisdom so that we might make an impact on those around us. I'll be honest with you, preacher. I did that. I'm a Christian and I prayed. And I asked God for his wisdom. Do you think he heard me? Oh, yes. That's a prayer that he always loves to answer. with no one looking around. If you would say, "Preacher, I prayed that prayer. I meant it. I asked Jesus to give me his wisdom and to help my life to be an impact." Would you?